on these important issues.
Thank you. Again, thanks to all the witnesses. I'm going to start, Mr. Wilkins, with you, but it's really a question for all the witnesses. You all talked about the Ardoff auction. You all mentioned changes. Could each of the witnesses just tell me, you know, as succinctly as you can, the two or three changes that you would make to the current system as it relates to the next auction? Mr. Wilkins.
Okay. Yeah. Certainly. I think that one category is there should be some adjustments to the standards required to participate in the auction, and probably more precisely on the geographic scope with which you can participate. I think that there's a well-intended desire to have a relatively low bar to entry in auctions. You want lots of participation, but I think it is going to prove quite unreasonable to allow some bidders to bid essentially in states they've never operated in. I think that just the nature of the upfront process should be made somewhat more stringent. There's a balancing test for sure there, but I think it needs to shift a little bit more into a higher showing of ability to serve an area.
Mr. O'Reilly.
Sure, there are a couple things and things I sought and didn't exactly make it into the cuts. One, I think that we should impose broadband penalties at a much higher level than that exist today. You can receive the funding, you know, go a couple years and then fail and pay, you know, pay the penalty if need be, or try to extract it out of bankruptcy. And that should be done, you know. Two is it has to remain technology neutral, and that was something that we fought for and I think we maintained. But there's still a desire, and there was a desire in the structure to, and people have said this publicly, to put the thumb on the scale. And that is problematic, in my opinion. There shouldn't be a thumb on the scale of how you have a competitively neutral bidding process. And I would refer to my friend's quote. He said, you know, the Ferrari one, actually it was mine, it was Lamborghinis and Chevys. And we must remember that the Chevy is a very good vehicle, and we're trying to figure out how to get broadband to those that have nothing. And I've sat in those kitchens of people who have nothing, and we're trying to figure out how to solve those. So there's two ideas I didn't win at the commission that I tried to.
Okay, Dr. Ali.
I echo a lot of what was already said. My concern was about making ineligible providers that received state or USDA support. I think what's happened is it's forcing providers to make a very difficult decision. And it's also taking the legs out from under state programs who have been quite aggressive. I looked to Minnesota, I looked to Illinois, I looked to New York, who have been quite aggressive in funding broadband. Winners of Ardoff, of course, cannot accept state funding. I'll remind everyone that 99% of borrowers to the USDA telecom program also receive USF support. This program is for the smallest providers, providing service for the smallest communities. All of these providers would be ineligible for RDOF support as it stands right now.
So you're saying more coordination.
More coordination.
Thank you. And Mr. Forty, did you want to weigh in on this? Changes to the RDOF auction that you'd like to see? You mentioned
a few. We were very happy with the results of the RDOF auction, certainly for us as a taxpaying company. Sure, we would have liked to have won more in RDOF, but it saved $6 billion for the taxpayer. And we are currently planning and we'll be deploying broadband out to some of those RDOF areas really in a very short period of time. So we view it as highly successful, and this will help us reach another 6,000 addresses shortly here. So very exciting to be getting that broadband out there to people who need it quickly and efficiently.
Well, one thing that you mentioned that you were concerned about, and we're certainly, I think this is now, I was asking for specificity, now I'm asking for theory here a little bit, and that is just the, you know, the speed, the uplink and downlink speed is I think, Ms. Dr. Ali, you mentioned one's about consumption, one's about production. And I do, I am concerned about what we are putting out there as it relates to making sure that we have a full vision now. Yep, the kids are streaming, or someone's, you know, as Mr. Forty said, he's working on his business, someone else is doing. So the complexity in a household of what you're doing, what do we do about this issue about the rate? And obviously, many of my colleagues here, we're going to be discussing many things this year, care about the economic development opportunities in rural America. We want to see more economic activity, which would mean that we'd want to have service areas that could receive, you know, much more connectivity that would allow them on the uplink to provide more productive business activity. So could you, do you want to discuss that starting with Dr. Ali?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. I'm in favor of the 100-100 symmetric definition. I think, you know, as we've learned, it allows people to work from home. It allows students to study from home. I'm thinking particularly of my students who might have multiple roommates who are sharing a connection and have to do multiple Zoom calls. You know, a definition of 25-3 is not suitable for those students at all, nor is it for a family of four who are two parents might be working and two kids also going to K-12. The other thing I'll just add is that this symmetric definition is absolutely vital for business. I think particularly of precision agriculture. I spent a lot of time in rural Minnesota talking to precision agriculture companies and providers. They are uploading terabytes worth of data and doing an incredible amount of soil analysis, oftentimes in real time, if possible, the technology is there. They need that ultra-fast symmetric upload speeds enable them to make real-time decisions about planting.
Yeah, I see my time has expired, but Mr. Riley, do you want to make a quick comment on that, and then we'll get the rest later for the record?
Well, at Precision Ag, most of the data can go, it doesn't have to go at once, it can go at different times, and so you don't have to have upload speeds. And in terms of the 100-100, the 25-3, the 25 that we have to exist today has been incredibly functional, and I've seen data that suggests that you can have 6 Zoom calls happening at upload speeds of 3 to 5. So to go into 100 to fulfill a desire, and I know there's interest in expanding the speeds, but there has to be a limitation on how much we can afford to fund at one time.
We'll get more from our other witnesses on this. I think this is a very important point on the economics of auctions. And so anyway, Senator Wicker.